It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hi, I'm Greg Gutfeld, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Harold Ford Jr., Jesse Waters, and Martha McCallum. It's The Five. America's crime crisis proving once again that no place is safe from senseless violence, and anyone can become a victim at any time. A father visiting his son at Marist College in upstate New York for a family weekend, shot and killed by a stray bullet after a fight broke out between two homeless men inside the lobby. Both suspects arrested at the scene, and of course, both had lengthy rap sheets. And you would expect to see this in a comic book. A group of green goblins robbing commuters on the New York subway. And of course, no arrests have been made. And even though 72% of Americans say crime is extremely or very important to them, squad member Corey Bush thinks the left's push to defund police has nothing to do with it.
You're one of the few Democrats now who still says, let's defund the police. Are you worried at all that that could hurt some of your colleagues going into the midterm elections?
See, the thing about defund the police is we have to tell the entire narrative. People hear defund the police, but you know what they'll say? Say reallocate, say divest, say move. But it's still the same thing. We can't get caught up on the words.
Keep digging. Keep digging. Judge, welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
We always find these two words in every one of these stories, you know, already known. The police, look, we already know these people. We're aware of these people. And it happens again and again and again. Is there any way this will ever end?
Yes, it will end. In the 90s, we had this problem. Everybody got fed up. They passed laws that went too far to the right in some people's minds, and then we got back to the middle. The left decided that they were going to change the law, that we had to have cashless bail, that there was this concept of social justice that no one can define, by the way. I still can't find a definition of social justice. But the issue is how many people have to suffer at the hands of the left and this so-called social justice? How many people have to die at the altar of cashless bail, whether it's someone who's a father at a weekend, college weekend, with it visiting his son, or whether it's someone who's going at 5 a.m. to her job on the subway, the train, the plane, I should say, who gets kicked in the head repeatedly, or if it's a woman pushing a baby in a carriage who gets shot in the back of the head. How many of us have to suffer while the left continues to promote these kinds of nonsensical theories that have nothing to do with reality? You can rest assured that Corey Bush has $300,000, as I recall, spent on her own protection. And yet for the rest of us, every time someone dies or every time someone is victimized, we all come out to the age-old criminal perpetrator, whether he's a criminal, whether he's mentally ill, whether he's a repeat offender. We know who they are. We just let them out among us and we do nothing about it. And that's the sad part of this whole thing. Until we win in November, change cashless bail, and deal with the mentally ill. Because these two guys are homeless, they're mentally ill, and they're violent. I don't care if they're mentally ill. Lock them up if they're violent.
Mm-hmm. You know, Martha, this week alone, and it's only Tuesday. Wait, it's Wednesday. Is it Tuesday?
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. We had this gang of green goblins and harassing people in the subway. Then we had a crazed naked man in Union Square climbing all over people. Are we officially in kind of like Batman territory where the lawbreakers don't just break the law, but there's this colorful sheen of derangement? So now it's like everything is an oddity. Like they come in costume now.
You just made the analogy that has been in my head. It's like that dark scene in the beginning of Batman where everything is lawless. Yeah. It is Gotham gone awry. Mm-hmm. And what I love is that you talk about the fact that they always say this, they were known to them, right?
Yeah.
I love this executive, the county executive who said it was an isolated incident. An isolated incident with I was at Parents Weekend at my son's college this weekend, right? I went downstairs to the lobby. It was crowded. We got coffee. The last thing that was on my mind was what somebody might be shooting people in the lobby. This guy's in a Courtyard Marriott with all the other parents. Paul Kutz is his name. This is his wife. He has three children. One of them is a student at Marist. The other two graduated from Marist. This is a human being who is no longer on this earth because of these two individuals who had modified the Glock gun that they had. Two dozen shots got fired off in that lobby. This is insane. This has to stop. You can't go to Parents Weekend and get shot and killed in the lobby of the Courtyard Marriott and have executives who are involved with law enforcement say, it was isolated. That's supposed to make you feel better?
Mm-mm.
It is insane. And what about 61-year-old Allison Russo, whose funeral was today?
Oh.
This woman, you know, you could just tell when you look at her face on the cover of the New York Post, she's a good woman who cares about law enforcement. She's working hard. Stabbed to death. Okay. And you mentioned some of the other things, and you mentioned these green goblins. I mean, this is out of control. There's not enough front page, you know, front space on the front cover of the New York Post to do correct homage to all of these individuals. This needs to stop. It's crazy.
It's overwhelming now. You can't keep track. And then meanwhile, Jesse, 72% says crime's an important issue, which raises the question, how effing stupid is the remaining 28%? Like, who are they? Must, you know what, that 28% must be the criminals taking the poll.
Right. Or they live out in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
You talk about isolated incidents, Martha. That reminds me of the lone wolves. Remember how many lone wolves we had during Obama? There's so many, it became a real problem. I think crime is top of mind on the American people, as KJP would say. When you go out and you look at a website, I went up and did research on an upstate website. The entire page is full of crime. You turn on the local news at 6 o'clock. It's crime, it's weather, it's sports, it's crime, it's weather, it's sports. You go talk to guys at a bar, guys like to talk about threats and property. They're talking about crime. Women protect their children. When they're out with other moms, they're talking about crime. Now, the reason the Democrats don't want to touch it is because if they acknowledge there's a problem, they have to acknowledge their role in it. And they have to put forth a solution that they're not willing to offer. Because if you're a normal Democrat in a city where the crime is happening and you say we got to get tough on crime, we got to fund the police, you're going to get primaried by a squad. Now, the squad is poisoned because they've come in with these left wing ideologies, and some of it's socialism and white supremacy, and that gets traction. But that's all theoretical. Their public safety policies are dangerous, and they're literally killing people. So the Democrats have to be strong. You know how they say you have to weed out these MAGA extremists from the Republican Party? The Democrats have to purge the squad extremists from the Democratic Party because they are literally getting people killed. Now, the Green Bandit Gang, that's what happens when you want to get famous. That's what happens when you know there's not going to be consequences. You get a buddy to film it. You put a costume on and you do it for clout. You do it to go viral. You do it for clicks. That's how easy it is now. It's a game. Violence is a game now.
But they kicked and punched two 19-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know, they were. This was a brutal attack. This isn't funny. These people were kicking and punching two 19-year-olds on the subway. I mean, it's so screwed up. You don't even know where you live anymore.
Also, get to the gym. So
You didn't think the Green Bandit Gang was in shape?
No, I didn't. I think they could do better. Harold, okay. When we talk about crime, we're always in this kind of like area where we never can really punch through. How do we not make this a left versus right thing anymore? Is that impossible? Is it always now just going to be a political battle? Or is there a way that where people like you and people like all of us can meet together? Or is that just never going to happen?
It has to. First of all the stories that have been raised, our hearts go out to and our condolences go out to you never wanted that story. You never thought you'd be visiting your kids at school and that would happen. I think when you think about serious people dealing with serious issues, some people can be serious, but their ideas are simply not serious. Cori Bush is, I don't know her. Mm-hmm. I assume because she's an elected member of Congress, she's serious, but she is completely and stunningly unserious when it comes to talking about crime, just like I think some in Congress who are on the fringe of the Republican Party are unserious when they talk about not funding Ukraine in their fight against Russia. Two, this is not a red or blue problem we have. This is a national problem we have. And eight of the states, Judge, where the highest crime rates are. They're all led by Republican governors.
But they don't run the city's police departments.
I just love to finish my point. I know there have been four already points here, but they could come out, much like this governor's race in New York between Mrs. Hochul and Mr. Zeldin. There's an argument being made that Ms. Hochul is not doing her part to fight crime. In every state, if you're telling me the governors of Mississippi, Louisiana, Kentucky, and South Carolina are unable to do more, I'd say you're wrong. But I step back, Judge. I stand down, unlike many who do this. And your question presupposes this. This is not a red or blue problem. Republicans do a good job of talking about stopping crime rather than actually stopping it. If you're in power, there should be the same kind of coalition that Greg offered this question to frame me often. When can we come together? Why can't mayors and DAs, why don't we hire more cops and prosecutors? Why don't we build more jails? I've been as outspoken, and I know a lot of Democrats. In fact, my best friends are Democrat. None of them are defunding the policers. All of them want more jails, more prosecutors, more cops. They want to end the cashless bail. There has to be a way to come together to deal with this. And I understand there's some advantage, and there's some, you know, there's the political partisanship advantage and blaming one party or the other. But the facts belie the point. Republican-led states have high crime rates and high murder rates just like Democrats do. You can nod your head all you want, and I don't mind you nodding it, but the facts refute your point. We should come together and try to solve the problem, period. Because I don't want to, when I go to college, my kids go to college, I don't want to go that weekend and have to worry about being shot, or for that matter, any parent being shot or killed.
Why did Governor Hochul not come out and address it? It happened in her state. She's running for office. They are devoted to the ideology of power, irrespective of the consequences. In every one of those cases, a mayor, a congressman, a governor could react, but they are so power hungry. Behind the scenes, they'll say, I hate it. None of us want to be the victim of a crime. But until we make them accountable, until we put people in office, we're going to say no more cashless bail, no more bail if someone is going to be a danger to the community. That's the only time we're going to be safe.
I agree, but the governors of Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Kentucky, and South Carolina are Republican. I don't say this is a Republican crime problem. I'd say it's a national problem.
Not,
and Greg, you had
no,
the question
not,
the right way.
Not That's, every state constitutionally can fire a DA. In Pennsylvania, the governor today could fire the DA, Larry Krasner, in Philadelphia. Not every state has that authority.
Right. This is a national problem. That's all I said.
But New York,
it's a national problem.
You know what else is a national problem? Getting to the break. That's why I sit here, huh? That transition. All right, up next, a Sanctuary City Democrat calling out his own party for doing nothing when it comes to Biden's border crisis.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
So a Democrat who is the head of a proclaimed sanctuary city blasting his own party over the border crisis. New York City Mayor Eric Adams under a lot of pressure lately to deal with the nearly 10,000 migrants who have been bused in from the southern border. Adams' initial solution was to build a tent city in AOC's district in the Bronx to house them. She didn't like that too much. Ocasio-Cortez voiced her concern that it was in a flood zone. Then Adams caved to her demands, and now it's being moved a few miles away to Randall's Island. The mayor now calling out both sides over this crisis.
The far right is doing the wrong thing, and the far left is doing nothing. I mean, everyone needs to be in this game. Everyone should be on all hands on deck. Everyone. Not sitting back and throwing rocks. A rock is not a plan. Everyone should be on deck helping this crisis right now.
Okay. Janine, let me start with you. I remember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez going to the border, and she was practically in tears about the toilets that were sinks, right? Now she is the mistress of NIMBY. She's like, not in my backyard, okay? Do not let these people. I am so blown away by the hypocrisy of this story, whether it's Martha's Vineyard or New York. I don't care. I'm not even taking a side. Just stand by what you say, right? If you believe that these people are mistreated, you should be rolling out the red carpet in the Bronx and making sure that you are taking excellent care of them.
You see, but that's what we were talking about in the A block. It's the same thing. You know, right now you've got the hypocrites who are like, we love all the immigrants, but don't you dare bring him to the Bronx. Don't you dare bring him to Martha's Vineyards. Don't you bring him here or there. And by the way, the ones coming to New York City that Mayor Adams is complaining about are coming from a Democrat city in Texas, from a Democrat mayor who's sending them to New York City. You don't hear Adams complaining about him, who has sent more this Democrat mayor to New York City than Governor Abbott. You only hear him criticize Governor Abbott. Yeah. This is what I'm saying. It's all about an ideology. We want the power. We want to have the ability to get in office. So therefore, we will be silent because they will vote for us. We will give them education, medication, housing. We'll give them a phone. We're going to give them housing and whatever they need to be Americans. We're going to shake their hand when they show up. But don't you dare ask someone in the military to not be vaccinated, but we'll shake your hand if you're coming in from the southern border.
Jesse, I love that whole setup with the, you know, people getting off the bus and the handshaking, and they get some sort of little package in a baggie. And then it's like, yeah, but you can't, we're going to put you in a tent,
yeah.
Right? 10,000 people in a tent. But everybody's going to be pushing. Randall's Island, you know what they do in Randall's Island? People play baseball, soccer. Yep. It's full of playgrounds and fields. So apparently this is where the migrants are going to be living.
Yeah, today. Randall's Island or Martha's Vineyard. I don't know. If I had to choose, I think I'd know what I'd choose. So Randall's Island, not only do they have sports facilities for young kids, they have a wastewater treatment facility and an insane asylum. Now they're adding a tent city for migrants. And AOC says, not in my backyard. Well, maybe if she hadn't killed 100,000 jobs from Amazon, they might have had something to do for work. So she doesn't want it there, but she doesn't have a plan either. So what is the plan? We're going to have freezing illegals on an island in a couple months trying to escape into the East River. We're going to have to recover them and pull them back in. How is that sane? Nancy wants to send them down to Florida to go pick crops. Is that legal? I thought you weren't supposed to hire illegals. But Nancy says now you can hire illegals. Joe doesn't have a plan. You can't say anybody that illegally comes across the border is an asylum seeker and not have a system in place to suction up the entire southern hemisphere, you know, South America, into our country. There's no plan in place for this system.
Harold, if it's a sanctuary city, shouldn't we have a program in this city where there's some kind of temporary employment or something? Because these people are going to not have anything to do, and it's going to get ugly quickly in these tents.
I think you're exactly right. I think the way you led into this was spot on as well. And I think the person who really framed it right was the mayor. I mean, the Republicans are great stunt callers and doers, and I think it's a clever move. Democrats are missing in action and earned denial. And in fact, our vice president, who is in charge of this, has not, if she has a plan, she's certainly not sharing it with anybody. Look, I've said for a long time, this is an issue that screams out for a solution, and it's one that we could probably develop around this table, as we always do in commercial break with the great challenges, largely because you have to have an honest and transparent system for the way people have a path to citizenship. I think people who come and spend 10, 12, 14 years to become a citizen, they resent this more than perhaps some around this table. Two, we need to streamline the asylum process and hire more judges. And we should make it clear, just because you come with a story about how things are bad in your country does not qualify you to stay here and wait 6 months for a hearing. That needs to be tightened up. Three, build a wall. Simply put, build a wall. Republicans will capitulate there. You have to capitulate on some other things so we can get a plan. Yeah. You put more law enforcement there. And finally, you have to invest in this hemisphere, from weather to drugs. You have wrecked a hemisphere that is right in our own backyard. And you can only expect and imagine, because we're the greatest country in the world with the greatest freedoms, the rule of law, greatest opportunity, greatest ingenuity, the greatest sports team, the greatest food, as you say, people are going to want to come here. So we have to make it where their home, their land is attractive as well. This is a problem screaming out for a solution. It's right before us if everyone would just put the politics aside and do what's in the best interest of the country.
There has to be a process to get into the country.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, you can have these two competing thoughts, the seemingly competing thoughts in your head, that I'm extremely pro-immigrant, I think we self-select for really interesting people, the people who risk their lives to come here. It's part of the American gene. Having said that, part of the American gene is a respect for a line. Even immigrants, when they come here, have a problem with line cutters. So they look, that's what the Democrats are now slowly learning, is that they may be betting on the wrong horse in terms of future votes when immigrants come here and immediately embrace the American system of justice, of order, you know, of civil society, all the things that the hard left kind of like want to abandon. There, you can't find a woke Mexican. I'm sorry. It's going to be really hard, right? There's going to be no Venezuelans who want, you know, grade school teachers to tell you about their sex life. It's like, it ain't going to happen. But I think, you know, I'm just upset that you said mistress of NIMBY.
I love that.
Because that is the best line I've ever heard, and it makes me very angry that I didn't come up with it. But then, you're right. New York politicians, they should be ecstatic that they can participate in this. This is why we have the Statue of Liberty, and yet they aren't. And you see that AOC is actually more anti-immigrant than the people that she claims is racist, because she didn't want them in her backyard. It's pretty amazing to me. And I think that, you know, the judge is right. There's a lot of overlap here with this block and the last block, in the sense that if any solutions come from people like us, it's going to be deemed anti-compassionate. Meanwhile, an anarchic border causes hundreds of deaths and illnesses and rapes. But we're the ones who lack compassion. So again, it's the same problem. It depends on where it comes from. People have to let go of their ego and the tribalism of their own party in order to solve this problem. We might be too far gone.
Amen. If I can let go of my ego, anybody can.
Yes, that's true. How can you even hold on to that thing?
All right, coming up, Coast Guard members who put their lives on the line to save others during Hurricane Ian and are congratulated by President Biden are now about to be terminated because of their vaccine status.
Because of the actions that happen.
President Biden says the pandemic may be over, but his COVID insanity shows no signs of stopping. The commander-in-chief just gave a big thank you to a Coast Guard team who rescued dozens in the aftermath of Hurricane Ian. But some of those same members will be given the boot over the vaccine mandate. Coast Guard aren't the only ones facing termination. Nearly 20,000 active service members fall under the same rules. And all while many branches of the military are lagging behind on recruiting members. And the president thinks this is a good idea.
It's a tough recruiting environment. We recognize that. But it's also, you have a requirement to be healthy to be able to serve. And this is a valid military requirement.
It's a lawful order
to get the vaccine. And look, even if it doesn't prevent you from getting COVID, I'm double boosted. I got it myself here just the last week.
That's your decision.
Or so. It makes the symptoms a lot less severe. It gets you back on duty.
So it's worth kicking out the healthiest people in our country who are already sacrificing. It's worth kicking them out?
Brian, we would rather not lose anybody, of course.
I don't like that patronizing Brian. We'd rather not lose anyone. But the truth is that 20,000 are going to lose their jobs. And Martha, the quote that Kirby said that bothers me is, part of being healthy is not being able to infect your unit. There's no question that you can be double vaxxed and still infect your unit. Are politics still in the midst of, you know, the dialogue of whether or not you can serve this country when these guys are willing to give their lives?
I think at some point wisdom has to prevail in leadership, and good management means that you look at a situation and say, okay, now we're in a different moment here, right? So these individuals should be allowed to stay at this point, given the fact that the president has said that he believes that COVID is over. It's done. So you can't be so dug in that you're not willing to say, we have a new policy now, right? We're going to evolve from this. There are so many institutions that had vaccine mandates, which now are not even talking about it anymore. Right. They're not talking about it when they hire. They're not talking about it when people go in the building. It's time for the president to look at this situation. This, you know, Coast Guard individual kicked in a wall and saved a trapped wheelchair-bound woman and her husband. He says, I love my job. I don't want to leave my job. This person deserves a different policy. It's time to rethink.
Greg, did the fact that this person who kicked the wall through and saved the woman in a wheelchair and her husband, did the fact that he wasn't vaxxed matter to that person whose life he saved?
No, of course not. I mean, in my circles, the two groups of people I met who didn't vax up generally were women who weren't convinced it was right if they were trying to get pregnant. Right. Try to argue with them is impossible. The other thing is people who are just physically fit and they resent any fat expert, any out of shape expert telling them that, oh, you'll be healthier with a vaccine. That these, we stress active people. These are active people. They are probably more physically fit and healthier than most Americans. Mm-hmm. So for them to lose their job because, you know, they're not allowing the government to tell them what put in their bodies. I understand it's the government, but Martha's right. The facts have changed. And it's like a nice little executive order would be like, you know what? It's time to like just forgive and forget, not even forgive because they did nothing wrong. But I guess these people, they don't tick the right box for Biden. Maybe if they were his people, you know, Puerto Rican, they, you know, maybe it would be different. People he grew up with.
They're white supremacists.
Yes, you know, they're all white supremacists.
That's
anyway.
The problem anyway.
Have you seen the Coast Guard uniform? White.
White. Okay. Okay. Say the good save. Anyway, there's a lawsuit right now, a class action. 1,200 people are suing the Coast Guard. They say that the Coast Guard categorically denies virtually every religious exemption request. That they're so dug in the Coast Guard that they won't even grant a military exemption.
It'll go through the court.
I'm sorry. Exception.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't grant a religious exception. I'm surprised by that. And if the court,
what does it tell you?
Well, it tells me that they probably need to go to a different court because they might have a different judge. If they judge Pirro, they might get a different outcome. Look, I'm sympathetic to this case. I do know if, God forbid, I'm on a plane and something happens and I have to land the plane, I hope they don't give me a pilot's license right after. I hope they make me go to school and do some other things. It's clear that if you're double vaxxed, the likelihood of getting really sick from COVID or dying is far less. We've learned also the viral impact of the virus. This is what I've read. I'm not a doctor of science, obviously. But the viral impact on the body long term is far less if you're double vaxxed. You can't accept one order when you're in the military and ignore another. That's how our military works. This is a terrible story. I wish they could grant this young man an exception. But I hope more than anything, if he is able to get the vaccine for religious and physical, nothing, no exception there, he should get it because we need his bravery and courage and many more like it in the Coast Guard.
Jesse, part of the argument that is being made right now is that it keeps that individual healthy. But what Kirby is using as an excuse is if you get the vax, then you're not able to infect other people. So your argument goes by the wayside, Harold.
I just said
respect.
You don't get as sick. I said, no, I just said
no.
You don't get
you
as
don't
sick.
You don't get as sick, but that doesn't mean you don't, even if you can still infect somebody else, even if you have the vaccine.
Right. Not only does it not affect transmission, it doesn't affect your health if you're 25 and chiseled like these guys are.
Like you.
Like
you and Greg.
Or the naked guy on the subway. Biden's basically saying, heck of a job, hero, you're fired. Now, Donald Trump, he was supposed to be the you're fired guy. And Joe Biden came into office and fired more people than any president than I could ever remember. And he doesn't care. He should Zoom with some of these unvaxxed troops and understand and hear their story so he doesn't come off as such a heartless king. This is a new vaccine. I know you got to take other vaccines to be in the military, but give these guys a little time. You got to be flexible. This is new. Let them be accommodating. Because right now, you can't say you're not allowed to die for this country because you won't get a shot that prevents you from getting a virus that also won't kill you. That makes no sense at all.
Okay.
But if you can't hear, you can't get in the military either. Anyway.
What? Okay.
If you're
up next, a bunch of spoiled college students getting a professor fired because the class was too hard.
That was good.
If you can. Baby, I'm sorry.
This wasn't no pair. It was.
Why do I feel this way? Why does she stay on my mind?
Hard work always pays off, but apparently some NYU students are just too good for that. An organic chemistry professor claims he was fired because students complained that his class was, listen to this, just too difficult. Students signed a petition blaming his teaching style for their poor grades. But the professor thinks it's the students' fault.
quote, they weren't coming to class, that's for sure. They weren't watching the videos, and they weren't able to answer the questions. NYU says that Jones was not fired over complaints, but was on a one-year contract that was not renewed. Greg?
I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. He's been semi-retired since 2007. He's 84, so there is that. And, you know, students are lazy, and I got to admit, chemistry's really hard. It is hard. And you know what the definition of hard is? When there's no way you can BS an answer. So this is why people like me and all of us here ended up in the liberal arts or humanities. Yes, exactly. Because we couldn't, we could never solve for X.
Right.
We couldn't, but we could definitely BS our way forever on Y. Yeah. Right? So that's why, like, a lot of people when they get to, and you go like, my God, I can't figure out the answer. Maybe I can talk my way out of it. You can't with chemistry. We need to make the hard topics more attractive because they are pretty amazing to learn.
Judge, you ready?
Well, organic chemistry, first of all, that is really, really tough. Yeah. These kids were doing it virtually. They obviously don't know how to study. The guy wrote the textbook. And, you know, the guy is apparently legendary. And he ought to sue him for age discrimination.
He's 84.
You know,
that's my point.
Yeah.
Organic chemistry is the class that keeps people out of med school.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
If you can't handle organic chem, I know so many people say, you know what, I was going to be a doctor, but I got washed out in organic chem, right? And so it separates the doctors from the non-doctors, which I would be in the non-doctor category because I would never be able to take organic chemistry. But this is what happens in life. You get weeded out, and these people are getting weeded out because they can't handle organic chem.
Is organic chemistry better than the other chemistry? Like all the other organic things?
Is it gluten-free?
It's inorganic chemistry, yes. I have a feeling.
Yes.
You got to weed out the idiots because if I go get surgery, let's say I go in for hair transplants, and the stupid doctor who got a free pass on organic chemistry messes up and gives me a sex change operation. And I leave the operating table and I'm like this and I don't have it. You can't have mistakes like that.
Like what?
You
Jesse?
Know what I'm talking about. An accidental sex change operation.
That happens
That's
all the time.
Why it has to be
all
harder to get into medical school.
Yep.
If you go into grad school, you're right. There's no right or wrong answers. Yep. It doesn't matter. Yep. Business school, it's all group projects. You can coast.
There's
law
paper,
school
not a final.
Is difficult because if you mess up, you can get a client in prison. But med school, if you mess up, you can die on the operating table, and that's a big problem, or have an accidental sex change.
Doctors bury their mistakes.
Your Honor.
Sorry.
NYU, up the standards. Bring this guy back. We shouldn't be coddling kids like this.
That's
the
right.
Fastest is up next.
Very good, Harold.
Age is just a number. Kentucky,
welcome back. Let's do the fastest. First up, that had to hurt. Yet another crazy animal rights activist getting absolutely lit up by two Rams defenders after he ran onto the field during the game last night. Arguably the highlight of the night, but was it too aggressive, Harold Ford Jr.?
I don't know. I think I would not want to get tackled unaggressively by Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner is one of the best linebackers in the league for a long time.
And
if you listen to what Wagner said, he said he saw that the security at the stadium didn't really know. There was a little indecision on that part, so he decided to help. I think he did the right thing.
Yeah,
all right.
He said, I didn't think that guy should be there. So, you know, this is what you're trained to do, right? When you're an NFL football player, you see someone running down the field, you don't think that you have to tackle them.
They're not going
to
talk it out of them.
Exactly. This guy has to go down.
You know what they should do? They should go right into law enforcement. They've got all they need.
They can moonlight as security after they retire, Greg.
This is exactly how I want my politics mixed with sports, right? It's like politics, for sure, it divides people, but everybody gets something. This is a win-win. The political activist gets his message out. It's amplified by being played on a sporting event, which is why they're doing the sporting events. And we get to enjoy the sadistic hit and enjoy this couch-dwelling loser gets pummeled. I love it. So it actually makes everybody happy. I do miss the naked streak, the streakers, which is redundant. The streakers are far more entertaining, but you can't hit them as hard.
But you also can't air it on television, so you don't get that voyeuristic feel.
And that caused them to die off because they weren't amplified the way this is.
And that's why you got to go to the game.
You got to go to the game.
Yeah, they would say, oh, we just had a streaker run across the field and during the commercial break. Yeah. We're not going to show it to you.
That's right. That's why season tickets always pay off. Up next, we all know what calling customer service can be. It's torture. Getting redirected agent after agent and still not having the problem resolved. Turns out the average person, you ready, sits on hold for 42 minutes when calling customer service. I don't believe that. 42 minutes?
You know what that tells me? It tells me you never take care of business on the phone.
Johnny must wait for 42 minutes.
I've waited 65 minutes, actually. 65 minutes, and I save a picture, and then I send it to them. No, because you have to do other things. If it's the bank, what am I supposed to do? Just say, oh, this is some identity thief stealing, but let me call the bank to find out.
You really got them when you send them that screen grab, don't you? What's the longest you've ever waited?
This screams out for an executive order from President Biden. This is something that could get us votes here.
That would unify the country more than anything he's ever done.
You know, it drives me crazy because everybody wants you to do it, you know, to have a chat now, like on email,
Right.
Oh, do you want to chat about it? Like, no, I don't want to chat about it. I want to call you. I want you to answer the phone. I want to deal with the situation right away. I was on the phone last night for about 25 minutes with Peloton getting the screen set up. So I'm thankful to them. They actually did a good job.
There's some interesting conflicts that happen. For example, because I use a lot of the food delivery, Grubhub, whatever. And then your food doesn't come and you get into these chats and you get into these fights and you go, and I always cancel the food. I don't want the food. And then I go to, and then the food arrives. What do you do?
Do you still have to pay for it?
No.
That's a great tax.
The question is, what have you done?
I eat the food.
You eat the food.
I eat the food. I eat it quietly in a dark closet.
And you don't pay for it and you still eat it?
I spend so much money on Seamless and Grubhub. I kind of deserve it.
He's single-handedly keeping the economy.
Yes, that's true. And also Drizzly, the wine app.
That's right. You look great. Don't worry about it.
Thanks.
Especially with that really great haircut. One more thing's up next.
Life doesn't.
One more thing. I'll go first tonight. What a show. I got South Carolina governor or former governor Nikki Haley. I got Jamie Lissau, Cat Tim Tyrus. It's going to be a good one. Hey, let's do this. Greg's Pussycat Parkour. Yep, I'm so proud. I got a professional parkour, Frisky Whiskers O'Malley. Check him out. This is him doing one of the hardest tricks a parkour athlete can do, which is to get between two cars without ever touching the ground. He's been practicing this for years. That is an actual cat. Yes, it's Frisky O'Malley. I'm trying to get through, and look at this. Look at this. How effortless he is at parkour. And I think that it's an inspiration for all cats who wish to enter the world of parkour.
Hilarious.
I could watch that forever, but apparently that would be rude to everybody.
It goes on and on.
Judge?
Okay. It's time now for... Okay.
Judge, you mean sweet tooth.
Yeah, now I'm a sucker for a good slice of cheesecake, so I saw that Del Frisco's in New York City has a new strawberry hibiscus cheesecake. I have a slice for every... Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? Okay. Once Del Frisco Steakhouse revealed their new strawberry... I'm reading. I just had to get my hands on it. The original strawberry cheesecake has always been a popular item on the menu, but let's see if this one tops it. Everybody, take your fork.
God, it must be great to have a restaurant next to a TV network.
Exactly. When you're in need of one more thing.
Yeah, let's do some cheesecake.
Oh, my God, it's delicious.
I was there last night. I had a beautiful steak with my friend, Dr. Gad Saad. All right, Jesse, you're next.
You know how technology is a little difficult for older people? Like, you can't figure out the DVR or how to program anything. Well, this father tried on one of these virtual reality things, and he thought he was playing football. So he's under center. And he's calling it out, and he takes the snap, and he drops back. And he's looking for an opening. He's looking for an opener. So he throws the ball, and then he runs into the wall. That's what happens.
Oh,
my God. He could break his nose.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
Okay?
Such a lady, Greg. His nose.
Why am I a lady? Is that wrong?
I don't know.
What if I identify as one?
Speaking of, tonight, Jesse Waters primetime, a polyamorous throuple has now been granted legal rights in the state of New York. A slippery slope. Where do we go from here?
Slippery slope. That's where all thruples go. All right, Harold.
From that to space, astronaut Dr. Cyan Proctor was recognized by St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital on Thursday at the Spirit of the Dream event, which honors African Americans who embody St. Jude's life-saving mission. Dr. Proctor received the Spirit of the Dream Award for her part in the Inspiration 4 spaceflight last year. She piloted the expedition, which raised $250 million for St. Jude's unbelievable goal, the goals they reach every year that no child will have to die in the dawn of life. Inspiration 4 was also the first all-civilian spaceflight to orbit the Earth. Congratulations to her and to that great research institution in my hometown of Memphis.
She didn't quit organic chemistry.
No, no. She passed the hard class.
Not yes. A proctologist.
7-year-old Dominic Giandria donated all of the money in his piggy bank to help people in Florida. Here's his conversation with his mom.
What are you doing with your piggy bank?
Sending it to people in need in Florida. I was really saving up for a Corvette or an electric scooter, but people need this.
What?
So sweet, right? And his mom said it all started with a conversation on Wednesday on his way to school, and he decided that his mom was upset about the hurricane, and he wanted to do what he could to help. So good for you, Dominic.
Was it true that he would have given more money, but he had already sent it to Ukraine?
He had, well, maybe. He had $200 in there, and he was saving
up to
buy
$800, and then it went all overseas.
There you go.
I know he had $800.
I'm just
all right, that's it.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, in these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Listen to The 5 ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.